Greetings. I'm Bill Kleitke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Keith Colston, who's Director of Ethnic Commissions for the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs. And Keith is here today to talk to us about various things going on with American Indians in Maryland. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening. It's been a while since you were on the show. A couple of years. Things have changed. I'm grayer. You look better.
Let's say we're continuing to improve. How about that?
That sounds great. That sounds great to me. First of all, for those who don't remember you being on the show, could you tell us a little bit about the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs?
Well, the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs established through legislation in 1974, along with the African American History and Culture Commission. In 1976, it was a commission all to its own. Since that time, we've made quite a few changes, improvements, and also we've been relocated a couple of times, and that's okay. Uh-huh. You know, that's nothing new for Indian people, you know, relocation. But our relocation has definitely improved over the time. And in 2008, of course, being placed under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives. Mm-hmm. So we felt like that was definitely where we needed to be. It was an opportunity to have more of a focus on our tribal communities, indigenous communities, Native Americans in the state of Maryland, and having a closer relationship to the governor.
Great. And as a director, you're supposed to make everything work.
I'm supposed to make everything work. I'm supposed to improve and create a better quality of life in a multitude of areas. And I do that not only on my own, but I do that with the great staff that helps to support me and me supporting them. And so it's a we situation, not necessarily I or me, but really is a we situation when it comes to the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs and the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives.
Takes a village.
It does.
It really does. It really does. How can someone find out more information?
Well, I mean, one of the ways, of course, is contacting us directly. And we think about directly, we always want to throw out email addresses. And you can locate us through AmericanIndian.Maryland.gov. If you want to contact the Governor's Office Community Initiatives, then, of course, that's GOCI.Maryland.gov. And through those websites, you get a very good idea of the different agencies and programs, including the Governor's coordinating offices. And those are those offices are very important, very vital to realizing all the opportunities and services that the state of Maryland provides through the coordinating offices of the governor. If I had a moment, you know, to just name off some
please.
Of name them please. Off, it would be the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives, first and foremost. And then we're looking at the Governor's Office on Children, Governor's Office of Crime Control, Deaf and Hard of Hearing, Homeland Security, performance improvement, and the Governor's Office of Small Minority and Women's Business Affairs. And we think about those coordinating offices, how we all work together, as I said before, to create a better lifestyle and in a variety of areas. And so I would encourage anyone, everyone, to visit the website and to get more involved and become more knowing, and also to allow us to know, you know, some of the issues and the concerns that are taking place. Now, one of the major things that I look at in reference to Governor Hogan is his mentality and idea in reference to Marylanders serving and providing the best customer service possible. And that's, again, been one of the improvements that I've had the opportunity to witness and to be a part of.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's good news.
It is.
Because you're on the inside and you've been there a while, so you have a perspective on these things.
And the perspective is, you know, looking at what's working, what can we make better, and at the same time, not looking at how we're perceiving those things, but how, again, the people that we're serving are perceiving those changes. And I believe that it's been very positive, and we're just looking to do more of it.
That's great. Phone number?
Phone number, well, always phone numbers to be provided. And, of course, mine being 410-697-9264. And I always like a direct link with individuals. So, again, I share my work cell phone number, which is 443-631-3643. And again, that's 443-631-3643.
Great. That in and of itself evidences your commitment to getting things done.
I would hope so.
Yeah, well, it's something as someone who pays your salary, helps to pay your salary in a very, very small way, getting smaller all the time.
Well, we're servants of the people, and that's really the mentality that we should have as in state government, is that, you know, we're here to provide an opportunity and to share what opportunities are out there for all Marylanders. And this is why I always encourage people to get to know all of the state agencies that, you know, that either we partner with or that we have a connection to. And again, because we're all one government, and that's really a mentality as well that needs to be always in place for the people that are getting to know us, that do know us, and the people who are serving my in the same way that I do.
Right. So that's goci.maryland.gov.
Yes, sir.
Great. Starting off, I always ask you, and I think it's probably a good one, the difference between Native American and American Indian.
Well, those two terms are utilized by the United States government. Here in the state of Maryland, we use American Indian. It's been a part of many of the documents and legislation and things mm-hmm. of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, we like to be, you know, consistent with things. And so when we have events and situations that have been created, like American Indian Heritage Day, like American Indian Heritage Month, you know, that's the terminology we like to use. I encourage everyone to get to know the individual communities and the tribes themselves. For instance, I'm Tuscarora and Lumbee, which are originally from North Carolina. But the indigenous communities that are right here in the state, we would be referring to the Piscataway Kanoi Tribe, the Piscataway Indian Nation, the Accahonics in Somerset County, the Pocomokes on the Eastern Shore, the Nassau Waywash also on the Eastern Shore, and Shawnee of Garrett County. So those are the indigenous tribes and communities. And whenever mm-hmm. I have an opportunity, I like to say, get to know the tribes themselves, not just the terms that cover all the indigenous people of North America, or Turtle Island, as we refer to it as in a traditional manner, but to get to know the tribal communities individually. Because even though that we're all Native Americans, we're all indigenous to this country, we all have our own things that we're working on, that we've done in a historical mm-hmm. and tribal mm-hmm. manner. But what we're working on today as communities individually. So that's really important that people realize that. And that's part of that teaching or that cultural competency.
How can they do that? How can, for example, you mentioned in Garrett County, mm-hmm. how can someone get to know more about the...
Well, I would say reach out to the communities themselves uh-huh. first and foremost, and we can provide that information. And that's really a great thing about the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, along with any of the commissions or the coordinating offices, is that we're an area of resource, mm-hmm. and that we would mm-hmm. want anyone and everyone to continuously use us in such a manner, a resource of information, whether it be in reference to the tribal communities, what they're doing individually, what we're working on as one ethnic community or the ethnic communities that are around the state. So it's really we should be seen as a source of information and opportunity.
Great. Yeah, that's an easy way to learn quickly.
I agree.
About what Indian tribes are across Maryland.
Yes.
And folks might be surprised about the location and where they're what they do.
I agree.
What are the basics of American Indians in Maryland?
Well, one of the things that people might not know is that many times before a tribe becomes state recognized or federally recognized, and that's, you know, being recognized as a tribal community, being recognized as a clan, band, or group, having that type of recognition, is that many times they start off as nonprofit organizations. They have to have a way of showing to a particular, say, funding source or whatever, that they're organized.
Right.
Many times throughout the East Coast, up and down, or all over the United States, that many of these communities start out as nonprofit organizations in a structured manner. And so by, you know, connecting with them and then realizing, you know, why is it that you came together in such a way? Well, to battle many of the issues that confront one particular group, or this particular group, my particular group. And so by establishing that nonprofit organization, it allows people to have more of a voice, and also to allow people to understand that, yes, we're here. And that's why the Baltimore mm-hmm. American Indian Center was established back in between the 1940s and 1960s, when tribal people from North Carolina were moving into the state. So even though they weren't indigenous, there was, a large concentration of Lumbees in the Baltimore metropolitan area, and still today. So,
how's Maryland compared to other states in terms of recognition and support?
I think we are definitely leading a charge and taking this matter very seriously. You know, there's a process called Maryland Indian Status Process right here in the state. And we've had two tribal communities who have sought out through executive order state recognition. That'd be the Piscataway Kanoi Tribe and Piscataway Indian Nation. And we encourage any of our tribal communities who would like to petition for state recognition through that process to do so. And so with that, that's a responsibility that we have, one of many responsibilities, one being, you know, recognition or a process for state recognition, along with other not just issues, but things that we're working on, our achievements. We have various communities that are looking at the health perspective, economic development, archaeological work, even sweat lodges within our correctional institutions. And we have individuals who we're always searching for and wanting to help serve on those committees and support those commissioners who have to make some major decisions and recommendations to the governor about the tribal communities and communities across.
Yeah, I guess it's a very important thing to understand that recognition is really a critical element in all of this.
It is, because it allows opportunities to come about from the federal level, but also in reference to people being identified for who they are. For instance, when it comes to minority contracting, there has to be an understanding of what minority group you're representing. And if you're not state or federally recognized, that can become a bit confusing when you say, well, I'm American and Indian, Native American. Right. In this country, by law, to characterize yourself or be referred to legally from a legal standpoint, you have to have either federal or state recognition. Self-identifying tribes do have some difficulty in reference to funding opportunities either through the federal government or other areas. And so once again, recognition is a vital part to tribal communities, moving forward and creating, once again, a better quality of life. That's not to say that they have to have it. We do have tribal communities who at times in history who have decided that, that's not what we're going after. But I would say to any tribal community, when there's an opportunity to create a better way of life for future generations, yes, seek out state or federal recognition.
And that's what we're talking about, really, because I know that the last time you were here, you mentioned the fact that American Indians in Maryland had lower median income and more in poverty and had a number of other social economic characteristics that could lend them some help.
Well, and that's true. I mean, nationally and even in the state of Maryland, there's always a greater need when there's perhaps is not the voice that could be there. And what Native communities have to do, first and foremost, in my opinion and professional opinion, is to be proactive. Reach out and search out the opportunities that are there, and then follow whatever policy and procedures or requirements in order in gaining in those areas. So first and foremost, I would say to all of my people, be proactive. Seek out what you can. And in reference to the other side of the story, is that to encourage people to get more involved with our tribal communities and with the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs and what opportunities are out there. We're not looking at just from a state point state point of view or government point of view, but from the private sector as well. And that would lead me to speak a little bit more about what's coming up in reference
Please. To
what's going on here in Maryland. And we have an opportunity to definitely do that, partner and work with in the private sector with Fort Discovery Children's Museum. They are the first major business to be open on November 24th, which is American Indian Heritage Day. Mm-hmm. It is a state holiday in Maryland. It was created in 2008. And again, being one of the first major businesses to partner with the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs and assisting us in what we want to do on that day. And that is to, give more light to the historical achievements, occurrences, to speak about the modern day situations that are going on along with those modern day achievements and what tribal communities here in the state are looking to do. And so that's going to be an incredible day. We're hoping everyone's going to come out. It's going to be right there at Port Discovery, right here in Baltimore. And we have an agenda that's set where they're going to be opening up at around 9:30, I believe. We will start with our part of the program around 11:30. We have an honoring and many other things going on. So yeah, we're looking forward to doing that.
And folks can find out more information on the website.
Yes, they can.
Which is
You can visit the Port Discovery website, or you can again contact us and provide you with that information as well.
And how can someone contact you?
Once again, American Indians, AmericanIndian.Maryland.gov, uh-huh. Or you can contact me directly with Keith.Colson@Maryland.gov.
And that number, the phone number again was 443-631-3643.
Yes, sir.
For a direct line.
Direct line.
Keith Colson. Wonderful. Unfortunately, Keith, that's all we have time for. It goes quickly.
It does.
Got a lot of good information, though, and I appreciate it.
Well, we'd love the opportunity to come back at any time and share more information about what the governor's office of community initiatives is doing, what the coordinating offices are doing, and what the commission itself is doing.
Great. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Keith Colson, Director of Ethnic Commissions, Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, for being our guest today.
Thank you,
Keith,
sir.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you for.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.